Thank you for being here and being part of this study. We are now in a new series that deals with the last generation. Are you the last generation? Now, somebody on the planet is going to have to be. I'm not saying who is, because I really don't know. But I would think every generation has thought that they were the last generation. Lots of time. So, of course, when I was young, I thought I was the last generation. I thought things were going to end a long time ago. I didn't know we were going to go beyond the 80s. I didn't even know if I was going to graduate from college with my bachelor's. That was in 1980. I graduated with my bachelor's in electrical engineering. I thought during the 70s would have been it. And I'm sure there's many people that have thought that, and here we are in 2015. Wow. I think around, yep. And so when you think that way, when your mind is set, then, you know, hey, the only thing you live for is, hey, for the Messiah. You didn't care about, you know, life because you didn't know what was going to go on. And so that's the way it was with the disciples. The disciples thought, hey, it's going to be, you know, that they are it. They thought after he rose and all of that, that he was coming back and they would see him. Obviously, that was around 33 AD. We're 2,000 years later, around, and he still hasn't come. So, Paul thought he was coming at his time. Lots of people have. So, depending on your mentality and where you are, you might think you're it, which is good. I mean, hey, it has its advantages. That means that you're dedicated, faithful to Yahweh. You will go to the nth degree. Amen. Now, come on now. Come on. You won't be like these, you know, regular churchgoers. You know? Hey, man, we just going and hey, you can come any day. And you know, you don't believe any of that garbage. You just keep, you know, living your life as if he's never coming back. So you plan for retirement. I didn't plan for retirement. I never knew I would get this old. when I'm doing this recording, I am 59 years old. I didn't remember. This was starting at 1976, I became a vegetarian. I was 20 years old. Now, 20, 59, wow, that's 39 years. I had not even lived half of my life. And so, was totally dedicated. There was nothing you could tell me that he wasn't coming and all the rest of that. It just didn't matter. And so I remember there was lots of people that were like that. Our people are hung around. That's what a lot of us thought. And so, you know, some of them said they're not having kids. And now that they're in their 60s, they were even older than I was. They're in their 60s. They're like, wow, we didn't have kids because we thought the world was coming to an end. So we don't want to bring children into this world. And now they're, you know, they thought, and now they know that was a bad move. But you make those decisions living in that time. Whatever time frame is in your mind. Then you had others, like myself. Okay, so we're moving to the mountains. We're moving out of the cities. We have children, we're going to make sure that they don't receive the mark of the beast, which we looked at one time as the, you know, the number. you know, social security number, being in the system, you know, all of this stuff. Yes. So we did it. Now, I remember when I accepted Yahoo, it was around 1978. I had 2 more years before I graduated from college for my bachelor's. Went on, studied day and night, would leave Howard University, studying engineering at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, walking across D.C. to, you know, to get to my dorm or get home or whatever. I remember those days. I was a diligent studier, searching and studying my engineering inside out, learned how to study. From that, I learned that engineering studying habit. I transferred to the study of the Bible. And from then on, I've been studying the books, you know, like it was never going to end. So that was a good experience because it had taught me lots of things. How to be dedicated to Yahweh, which few do today. I would get up in the morning and study the Bible. Read the spirit of prophecy. Get down deep into Yahweh would reveal different things to me, fasting and praying, having 21-day cleanse, oxygen therapy programs. I mean, it's gone deep into, no joke. As deep as I studied my engineering, that's how I studied the Bible. So, it didn't come. But let me be assured to let you know, he will come and there will be a last generation. If I am it or if I'm not, hey, it doesn't even matter at this point. Because I was just telling you, when I was young, when you're young and you're dedicated, you do things for Yahweh that people might consider crazy. But it was worth doing because it was for Yahweh. So, let us get deep into this now. Now, so we're going to be looking at quite a few verses, quite a few chapters, quite a few things, matter of fact, quite a few subjects that you might or might not be familiar with. So, as they would say, let us begin. Okay, we're going to start with Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start with verse number 1. Now, remember, we're going to be studying the last generation, so you can find that in the Gospels, Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank thee for your mercy, your grace, your love, and compassion. Please, open up my heart, open the hearts of our audience, open the hearts of your people that they might be able to hear, not my words, but your words. That I might not speak my words, but your words. Speak through me to the people. Let your will be done. Amen. Okay. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. That's where we're going to begin. But before we do there, when we talked about Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, there are many places in the Bible that we can find information on last day events or end time events. Okay? Let's talk about that. The book of Revelation, obviously. The book of Daniel. The Gospels. Now, most people did not know that you can find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, except John. John doesn't have last day events in it, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. The major prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and the minor prophets, Joel, Malachi, and so forth. But only on the Mount of Olivet Discourse do we get the correct order of events. So you will not find the correct order of events in Revelation. You will not find the correct order in Daniel. You will not find the correct order in the major prophets. You will not find the correct order in the minor prophets. But you will find it in the Mount of Olivet Discourse, found in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. And since the Bible has these things all scattered about, that's why he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Because there is so much apostasy in the church. I mean, apostasy, you know, is nothing new. There was apostasy at the time of the Messiah's first coming. When Paul went out and preached and he preached to the Gentiles, there was apostasy in the church of Corinth. Okay. John writes about apostasy in the first, you know, in the books of John, John's epistles. So there's always been apostasy. And apostasy have reached its height. Now the question is, once it has reached its height and its depth, then apostasy comes in and reinterprets the word of Yahweh, hoping that you will not study, as the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. If you do not do that, then you're lost. Be not deceived. The Bible tells you what to do. If you don't do it, then you're just lost. I mean, just accept the fact that you're lost. Because you're not going to the churches, the organizations, religions, as we have it at the time of Yeshua. We had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Herodians. You had all of these the different denominations that were all, some were called Jewish. And we also had, today, all of them in apostasy. Except maybe the Essenes, like not, I don't know. But everybody else is apostasy. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. All them boys were apostasy, deep apostasy. So much apostasy that they crucified their Savior. How about that? Now that's real deep apostasy. That's apostasy of the highest order. Now, did the people know? No. Did the leadership know? Yes. Was the leadership consciously brainwashing the people to take their money to have these positions? Yes. Is that what's going on? And he says that what happened at the time of his first coming and what happened at the time of Noah, the same will be at the time of his second coming. So if the churches were all in apostasy at the time of the Messiah's first coming, and you only had John the Baptist out there preaching the truth, who was probably in the scene, then he's telling us that in the last days, all these religions, denominations are in apostasy in the same condition that they were, the churches were, and, you know, so forth at the time of the Messiah's first coming. So, now, if they crucified the Messiah, if he came back today, do you think they would do the same thing? Of course, they would crucify him again. The churches, we're not talking about Rome. We're not talking about Rome. We're not talking about the state. No, we're talking about the church who killed the Messiah. And so will be today. So, make sure you study to yourself approved, like Yahweh said. Okay, now we talked about all of these places. You can find it. Now the question is, how do you put it all together? So, we, through Yahweh's word, will try to help you understand of how to get things in their order. What type of events Yahweh, how did he put it together? And so, like I said, all the places where you can find last day events. And as we said, only one in the Mount of Olives discourse do you find the correct order of events, but not the details of the events. You'll find the details in Revelation. You will find the details in Daniel. You'll find the details in the Gospels. You'll find the details in the major and minor prophets. but you won't find the order there. And so everything has its place. Daniel and Revelation give in-depth details, but not order. So if you use Daniel and Revelation as order, then you could be off. So please, as the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto Yahweh. Okay? Let's take a break at this point, and then we'll come back and we'll start off with Matthew 24.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
Phenomenal. thank you for coming back and being part of this study. Okay. Let's look at our next part, which is specifically dealing with Matthew chapter 24, verse number 21.
Again, that's Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. This is what it says. The disciples.
And Yeshua went and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. So we see here that we have the disciples come to Yeshua and tell him, hey, check this out, brother. Now we are the people of Yah. We are the people of the creator of the universe. We have a monopoly on the gospel, on the word of Elohim. So they thought there was all of that, which obviously they were not, but they thought they were. And so it is today that we think that we are, you know, the denominations, the Christian movement is all of that, and it is nothing but an apostasy. And so Yeshua says, yo, fellas, come on. They say, look at the gold and the silver. Look at the beauty of the temple. Look at the beauty scene. I could just imagine the sun setting, rising in the east and setting in the west. And it how it hit the gold and how it glimmered with the silver and the jewels. And I mean, this thing was like miraculous. You know, I mean, you can go to some of these, you know, synagogues, they look beautiful. You can go to some of these cathedrals, you know, they look beautiful. You can go to some of these churches, they look beautiful. And they have spent lots of money on it. Millions. And the same thing with Solomon's temple. You know, when it built Solomon's temple, it was miraculous. When Herod came back later and tried to rebuild it, he tried to make it miraculous. So that's what they're looking at. They're looking at, hey, look at all the splendor, all the money, all the jewelry, all, you know, this is like, you know, heaven on earth, man. This is the joint. There can be nothing better than what we have. Okay, so my question here is, excuse me, Yeshua says, verse 2, unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, or surely, that's what verily means, be for sure, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So they are saying, whoa, 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 come on, man. I mean, we just talking about, you know, I mean, how Yahweh has set us up, man, to be the depositors of truth. We are his people. We are the only place you can go in the universe to follow Yahweh. We are it. And he's saying, listen, fellas, missing the whole point. Yahweh is going to destroy this joint. They're like, what? Whoa, 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 whoa. Verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. So we see here, they coming to Yahweh, after Yeshua, after thinking about what he said, and they saying, let's go to him on the side, you know, later. Not now, you know, in front of everybody. And let's try to understand what the brother is saying. So they come to him on the side, and they just looking and just saying, hey, what is the deal here? When will this place be destroyed? What shall be the sign of your coming? We know you're coming back. And what shall be the sign of the end of the world? So these are the three questions that Matthew 24 addresses. Okay, and we'll go into that. But our main focus now is the last generation. Just imagine the disciples showing Yeshua the beautiful scenes of the temple. The temple was a beautiful sight to behold at the setting of the sun, when the sun is reflecting the beauty of the clouds with blue, orange, violet sky color. The temple was made of marble, gold, precious stones, and silver that the sun would reflect off of. But Yeshua shows another view of the temple and Jerusalem, not in a far distant future. Here, Yeshua tells us of a time when there will be, when there will not be left one stone upon another that shall be not thrown down. Most people think this happened in 70 AD when the Roman army general Titus destroyed the temple. This was what we call the destruction of Jerusalem. One of the scenes, the siege of Jerusalem and the temple was so bad that the people were starving inside of the temple. There they went to hide out from the Romans. Now, remember, this was during the time that when we're talking about time, the time that we're thinking about and the time that we're talking about, when Jerusalem, after the Messiah died around 70 AD, the Israel or the Jews at that time revolted against Rome, and so Rome came in and sieged the city and surrounded it, and then surrounded the temple, and then wanted to, you know, capture it and enslave, and at the end they enslaved the people who were in Jerusalem. That's what is called the siege of Jerusalem. And the temple was so bad that the people were starving inside of the temple where they went to hide from the Romans. This was not the first time that Jerusalem was besieged by other armies. In the past, some people had come to the point where they ate their babies for food. We're going to look, when we come back, 2 Kings chapter 6, 26 through 29. We'll look at Lamentations chapter 4, verse 10, and Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 52 through 57, so that we can see the situation that was at hand. Will this happen again? Yes. How bad will America be taken? At this time, we'll take a break to hear from our sponsors.
Okay, so it doesn't seem like we're going to hear from our sponsors at this time. Okay, so we will continue on
with our study. Okay. So, let's turn to the second thing. Chapter 6.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your
starting
kingdom
at verse 26.
Enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session.
Through 29.
Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have
and
to be present to attend.
As the King of Israel was passing by,
call at area code 904.
Okay, let's just give you a little background
or email us
on this.
At livingwatertraining.
There's a famine in Samaria.
Yeah, and check out
and
the website.
It wasn't a famine, it was seized. It was surrounded by a garrison. And they surround the cities, and you nobody can get in, and nobody can get out. Food can't get in, food can't get out. Transportation. The only food that you can have is what you grew.
One Day Ditch Repair is a ditch repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Ditch Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
The chapter here. I just want to give you a little bit of a background.
I may not play like a maestro, and I don't sing like a diva.
Okay, verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. Now, Samaria was the capital of Israel, the 10 tribes. Wasn't and there was two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah. They were divided since after the death of Solomon.
I wanna be the
so we're talking here about
the
kingdom.
I wanna be
and
the
they never had a righteous king ever. And so I believe that most of these denominations that are run by Europeans never had a righteous, same thing. All these denominations, all these churches, never had a righteous, pope or leader, bishop, president, whatever you want to call these people in their denominations. Just there was a great famine in Syria, in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, till an ass or donkey's head was sold for 80. 80 means 84 times 20 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cob of dung, or dung, of cob's dung, for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king, so it was very it was very tight. I guess that's what we can call it. It was a very tight situation in reference to our situation as we were trying to live. Now, you've seen doves everywhere before. Now the question is, have you seen doves? Dung being sold. Have you seen the head of a donkey being sold to eat their teeth and all this foolishness? So it was pretty bad. Okay. And the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, And there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my Lord the King. And he said, If Yahweh do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? I mean, what is making you upset? What's going on? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her, On the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes. So, we talking about some seriously hard times, my brothers and sisters. Okay, next one, we're going to look at Lamentations chapter 4. Lamentations chapter 4, verse number 10. Okay. Okay, we'll start at verse number 9. Okay. They that be slain with the sword is better than they that be slain in hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of fruits of the field. Verse 10. The hands of the pitiful woman have sodden or boiled their own children. They were their meat or their food in the destruction of the daughter of my people. So, this was a prophecy at the time of Jeremiah, letting them know that this was going to happen. And it happened before. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy for a second. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, was this ever predicted, ever told, that such a thing like this would happen? We're looking at Deuteronomy 28, verses 52 through 57. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, till thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which Yahweh thy Elohim hath given thee. And thou shall eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which Yahweh thy Elohim hath given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thy enemies shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. So far, it talks about these are people who are killing and eating their own children. Just as we read that already. But here it is again. It's letting us know that they shall eat the fruits of their own body. Because it'll be, you know, there'll be a garrison that'll surround it. This happened at the time of the Messiah in 70 AD. This happened in Samaria as they were surrounded by Ben-Hadad. And we see it's talking specifically at first that the man that is tender, who's loving and very delicate, is a loving guy, is a, you know, compassionate guy, will turn on his own wife. His eyes shall be evil toward his own brothers, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. So he will leave them. Let them die. Then it says that he will what? And he will not give any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. So he's going to eat his own children. Is that what's going on today? Are we turning our children into being offered up as sacrifices to Balak, to this system? Is that what we're doing? Spoiling them? Allowing for the system to take them and do whatever they want? Because you haven't done your part. Or because we're a wicked nation. Elohim. We are Babylon. We're in the belly of the beast. Do you understand that? That's where we are. We are just lost. We just follow the world. Brainwash, propaganda, 24/7. We just follow the prince of the power of the airwaves, of the TV waves, of the radio waves, of the CD waves, of the DVD waves. Every wave that you hear through your ears. That's the prince of the power of the air. So we see that, wow, this is what he's going to do to his children. Wow. This is how he's going to treat his brother. This is how he's going to treat his wife. Sell them to the system. The tender and delicate woman among you, verse 56, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them in the for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thy enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. So we just read how it happened. And this is the thing that was happening at 70 AD. So, at the destruction of Jerusalem, it was so bad that it had gotten so bad in the past that people ate dove's dung for food, which we saw in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25. The time came when the Romans finally got in to the temple At that time, there was bitter hatred between the Hebrews, or the Jews, as they would call it at that time, and the Romans. They were so angry, that's the Roman, that they killed so many people that the blood was like water flowing in the streets. That was serious. And the destruction of Jerusalem, was that the fulfillment of the prophecy that we read in Matthew 24? Many think it was. But Yeshua said that there would be not left one stone upon another. Today, we do have what they call the Weeping Wall, where European Jews go today. And they claim this was the wall that stood at the time of Yeshua. So if this is still a wall that was left, then it was not the completion or complete final fulfillment of the prophecy. Well, why would you say it's not the final prophecy? Because when we read, and according to Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, the disciples asked three questions. Three important questions about the second coming. When shall be the destruction of Jerusalem? One. Two. What will be the sign of thy coming? And three. What will be the sign of the end of the world or the end of the age? Yeshua explains last day events for the last generation. Because they're asking for the end of the world, so that's the last generation. So he's going to explain to them what's going to happen and lead up to the last generation, or the end of the world. And would you read Matthew chapter 24, verse 4? Luke 31, you will find that. And we have studied some of that before, and we'll go back and restudy Matthew 24 again. And that'll be verses 4 through 31, which talks about the last day events. And after that, he goes into a parable starting at verse number 32 through 35. And explain what generation will live through these events. So let's look at that. The last generation. This question is asked in every generation. What generation will see and live through these events? Well, let's look at Matthew. Back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to look, start at verse number 32. Like I said, we'll come back to verse 4 and then later. Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and put it forth, ye know that summer is nigh. We'll go read up to verse 35. So, likewise, ye, when ye shall see with your eyes. Amen. Now, you got to be looking. When ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Now, verses 4 through 31, that's what he's referring to. So, likewise, when you see all these events from chapter Matthew 24, verses 4 through 31. Okay. When you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation, oh, whoa, 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 there it is again. This generation, okay, what generation? This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. What generation? The last generation. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, amen, my word shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, till the day Noah entered the ark, and knew not till the flood came, and took them excuse me, and took them all away. So also the coming of the Son of Man shall be. Amen. So now I think we read a little bit about this before. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Yahweh doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat or food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing. Verily I say unto you, then he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. That's what's going on today. They are smiting us with the sword. They are cutting us off. They are brainwashing the people to the point that they don't even want to hear the word. They just want to hear the prosperity gospel. This makes me prosperous. Love of money. That's all. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkard. That's right, they eat and drink with the world. Oh yeah, man, how much money you making? Oh yeah, brother, I'm making all of this. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, man, I just got finished, you know, baptizing all these people, and I got all of this money. Yeah, I just raised up another church. Really? I got a mega church. I just built me $1 million church. Oh yeah, and I gotta go over and build one. Hey people, hey, y'all gotta keep giving till y'all bleed to death, because we gotta have a big sanctuary for the house of the Lord. And if you don't read the Bible, you won't know, because they will tell you about Malachi. And Malachi does say it, in the book of Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. Yes, there's no question he said that. But, and he also says in those verses, hey, did you go back to your houses and you go eat, drink? And my house, the house of the Lord, is sitting here desolate, in disrepair. And today, that's what we have in our historical black colleges. They are in disrepair. We get knowledge and education from that is in total disrepair. When we look at our education systems in the urban cities, these buildings are falling apart. The kids are going there with their coats in the wintertime because there's no heat. I mean, everything that is important, they will tell you, oh yeah, the church is important, this is important, that important. No. Education of our children is very important. Educating of ourselves. Most of us are ignorant. And we believe ignorance is bliss, but it is not. Okay, so we see here. That's from now. Okay, don't get me started. All right. And it says, and it shall begin to smite, verse 49. To smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkard. That's it. And that's what we call incorporation. We're incorporated. The church and state are incorporated. They're having sex. That they are incorporated. You become one with them. There you go. And that's what you're doing. You're eating, drinking with the drunkard. That's exactly what you're eating and drinking with the world. You're eating and drinking with the boys. Everybody's trying to make a penny, trying to rip off the people. That's all it is. It's called capitalism. That's right. Communism do the same thing. All of them do it. All of them do socially. All of them do it. That's the whole point. Because they are eating and drinking with the drunkard. That's what it says. Come on now. And that's what you see on TV. That every time people come home, they're looking for what? What? Go to the bar. Go drinking. The happy hour. Mm-hmm. That's all people are looking for. That's what they live for the weekend. That's it. Living for the weekend. And some don't even wait till the weekend. They live for the 5 o'clock hour. So this is very deep. And this is what's going on. Alright? So then it says in verse 50, Yahweh, the Lord of thy servant, shall come in the day that he looketh not for him, and in the hour that he waiteth not, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. They shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so we see here. Wow, this is deep. This is some deep stuff now. Okay, now let's get back to the parable that we started at. We done got going off, you know. Know how I am sometimes. Okay. So he says, verse 32, learn now the parable of the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and put it forth, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you shall see all these things, all the things that are mentioned in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 31, know that it is near. What is near? That at the door. What is at the door? His second coming. Assuredly, I say unto you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things be fulfilled. What generation? A generation that will be living at the time of the end shall not pass away. His promise that he would come, he would come. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Amen. Most people teach that the fig tree represents Israel. More European garbage. But a fig tree does represent Israel. When you look at the book of Hosea, he talks about a fig tree. He talks about that. Yes. When you talk about the vineyard in John, I think it's chapter 12, he talks about, 10 to 12. He talks about that I am the vine, ye the branches. So, I mean, yes, there is, at certain times, he talks about that. Yes, no question about that. But now look at their application, which is all wrong. Okay? The European Christian, garbage. And that when Israel became a nation at the end of World War II, in 1945, okay, how did the nation of Israel come into existence? The European nation of Israel. And that's saying, the real Israel. This is Israel, the worldly Israel. Okay, the European Jews, as they would call them. How did that happen? The UN voted to make Israel a nation under the U.S. leadership in 1948. So after World War II in 1945, that the Europeans, the Americans, decided that, okay, hey, we need to find a homeland for the European Jews. For they have been killed by their own people, Hitler and the rest of them. And so what do we need to do? Well, they decided now that they were going to do that. Now, there has always been a fight or revolt in Israel over this. You have the Hasidic Jews and so forth, people who believe in the Bible and trying to follow it. Then you have the secular Jews who really don't even believe the Bible, don't believe any of that stuff, but they say that they're, you know, Jews, and so that they want a homeland, and they demanded that we give them a homeland. And so with the UN and the United States and all these other people, they voted in to say, okay, here, the European Jews, here, you can have Israel now. And so they sent them over there, and then they were, there was already people living there. It's called the Palestinians, okay? And so they took over their land and kicked them out and all that, you know, just as normal colonists do. That's how they stole America, you know, that's what they do, okay? They went into America and wiped out all the Native Americans and then kicked them off the land, pushed them into Mexico and China, I mean, not China, Mexico, and concentration camps. And now they say that, hey, they said the Mexicans want to come back, and now they're saying that they're illegal aliens. No. The illegal aliens are the people who claim to be American citizens. They are the illegal aliens. Those are the Europeans who came over and stole the land. Okay? So let's get it right. Okay? Let's stop lying to the people. That's number one. Number two, and that's why African Americans are called African Americans. They're Africans who were landed on. The Europeans landed their foot on their heads and made them come to America, enslaved them, and made them come. We didn't come here freely. And the Europeans that were pushed over here, who became what they call Americans today, they volunteered to come over here. They were thrown out of the prisons of Great Britain and Europe. That's where they, and they dumped them over here. Okay? So please, let's stop the deceiving, lying to the people. Okay, we stole the land. We didn't steal it. We were enslaved here. We were brought under here without our permission. And some would say, "Well, go back." Well, I mean, hey, when you give the Indians back their land, then maybe we'll think about it. But we're not leaving it here with you. You know, robbers and stealers and thieves and barbarians. No way, man. That's not happening. So, they said, "Okay, now we need to expand our power." So we ruling, we kicked out the Europeans, we enslaved Native Americans and Africans. Now we're going to come in, and now what's the next thing we're going to do is we got to set up, we are the superpower. So now we got to set up a super religion. Okay, so they said, hey, we need to find a homeland for the European Jews. So they said, hey, we're going to put them in Israel, in what we call Northeast Africa. So when they put them in Northeast Africa, they said, whoa, we can't say that we're going to put Europeans in Northeast Africa. That ain't going to cut it. So we're going to change the landscape, and we're going to call it the Middle East. So this is how you got the Middle East right after, you know, 45, right when they're trying to push to bring the European Jews into Northeast Africa, or what we call today Israel. So they put them in there. And they voted. I'm sure they probably paid people off to vote one way or another. And they did that. And so that's where we find ourselves today. Okay? Now, see, you probably didn't even know any of that stuff. But, hey, that's what it was. Okay? Then, a generation, according to the European tradition or teachings, a generation, according to the Bible, is 40 years. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, that's, they take pieces of truth and match it up. Okay? So people expected that 40 years later, at 1988, 40 years after 1948, that Yahweh Yeshua would come back. Because it said, learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branches are tender, and they're saying that Israel was tender, okay, because they put them in there in 1948 and put forth her leaves. So she's putting forth her leaves when you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things happen, what things? That according to the European teachings, okay, this is false. Let me make sure you know that. It's false prophecy. Okay, they're teaching that Israel, once they were set up in 1945, they were tender and now. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, Israel set up, know that it is not even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. So then they were saying that the people who were put in Israel, who were forced in Israel, voted in by the UN and the United States, when they were put over there and put in that area, that it would take 40 years, that, and that's what it says, that generation shall not pass away. So that's what a generation is, 40 years. So it would take 40 years to 1988 that Yahshua would come back. But we know that Yeshua did not come back in 1948. This is 2015. So they said, maybe a generation is 50 years. And so when 1998 came, nothing happened. So people gave up on that interpretation of the scriptures. The European, you know, foolishness. Okay, but now look again at the scriptures. Let us look again at the scriptures and let's see what they say. Okay, let us look again. Now, we're going to just read this and then we're going to conclude and we're going to finish part two when you come back. But this will give you something to think about and investigate. Let us look again at the scripture, Matthew 24, verses 32 to 35. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. From the what fig tree? When its branches is ready, already become tender and put forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So you know that when you start seeing, I don't know, when y'all go out the bud, you can see the leaves, you know, when the winter comes, it kills all the leaves, kills all the buds. And then you'll see, you know, as spring comes back, you'll see little buds out there. And as you look at these little buds, and you know that summer is near. So you also, when ye shall see all these things. Now the question is, what is all these things? According to European interpretation, all these things is them voting European Jews back into Israel. Now the European Jews are not even the people of the Bible. So none of this is even valid. Okay? Either way you cut this thing, it's a bunch of hogwash. It's a bunch of stuff that they just lying to the people. Simple as that. Okay? But they needed to do that to set up the counterfeit Israel. The Bible says, he that is a Jew is not a Jew. That the people who says in the book of Revelation, that they're the synagogue of Satan. So these people are being set up. These European Jews are being set up by other Europeans so that they can have a monopoly on the gospel, saying that they are the white supremacists. They are Yahweh's people. And then also they has said that we are the superpower of the world, and so we keep everybody in check spiritually and physically, and they're in charge of all the money, and they will bankrupt any economy and keep it in depression. So if you got Jamaica and all these other countries, they're under the European arm of, you know, of keeping them in that lock hole. So you see here that you have now in charge of the economics, you're in charge of the superpower, you're in charge of now the religious aspects of things. Okay, so you shall also, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say unto you, this generation, which generation? This generation will by no means pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Let's make a mention here. When Yeshua told this to the disciples thought that they were the last generation. And so the disciples were expecting for everything to end at their time, but it didn't. So the question come back to, who is that generation? So may Yahweh bless you. We're going to come back next week to finish this off. But I want you to get a chance to think and read and study and determine who is the last generation. And what is it talking about here? This generation shall not pass away. I want you to think about this. I don't want to give you all the answers. I want you to have a chance to study and figure this out. Well, let's pray. Close out. O Yahweh, please bless us, keep us, instruct us in the ways of righteousness, help us to understand your will. Help the people that they might understand the scriptures, help them to understand what you are saying to them. Prepare us, cleanse us, merge us, purge us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. Help us serve thee in truth and righteousness. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Now, anybody who's interested in any of our material, you can get it at www.peopleofcolor1.com. Again, that's www.peopleofcolor1.com. Yahweh bless, keep you. May his wonderful grace pour upon you, and may he give you peace. Amen.